Lesson 16.
Word list.
Financier.
Philanthropist.
Depressed.
Fair.
Firm.
Single.
Haunt.
Previous.
Idle.
Congratulate.
Secure.
Last.
Christmas.
Offend.
Foreman.
Sack.
Room.
Row.
Passage.
Wicker.
Cradle.
Cheese.
Slice.
Toast.
Plate.
Oh.
Nasty.
Reckon.
Penny.
Halfpenny.
Shilling.
Pound.
Baker.
Grocer. Grocery.
Account.
Shovelful.
Restless.
Kneel.
Rock.
Pat.
Clear.
Space.
Manage.
Astonishment.
Milkman.
Bill.
Pennyworth.
Butcher.
Mutton.
Installment.
Oilcloth.
Idioms and expressions.
To do the house through.
To congratulate oneself on.
To be nasty about.
To give somebody the sack.
To reckon up.
From time to time.
To owe somebody some money for something.
To pay some money on account.
Next to nothing.
In hand.
To pay off debts.
Proper names.
Robert Tressel.
William Easton.
Ruth.
Crass.
Rushton. Text.
The Financiers, a chapter from The Ragged Trousered Philanthropists. That night, as William Easton walked home through the rain, he felt very depressed. It had been a very bad summer for most people, and he had not fared better than the rest. A few weeks with one firm, a few days with another, then out of a job, then on again for a month perhaps, and so on. As a single man, he had never troubled much if he happened to be out of work. But now that he was married, it was different. The fear of being out haunted him all the time. He had started for Rushton & Co. the previous Monday, after having been idle for 3 weeks, and as the house where he was working had to be done through, he had congratulated himself on having secured a job that would last till Christmas. But he would have to be careful not to offend Crass, the foreman, who could give him the sack at any time. His home was a small house, one of a long row of similar ones. As he entered, his wife met him in the passage and asked him not to make a noise, as the child had just gone to sleep. They both went softly into the kitchen, where the baby was sleeping in a wicker cradle. "I couldn't think what to give you to eat tonight," said Ruth as she poured out the tea. "I had no money left, and there was nothing in the house except bread and butter. So I cut some bread and toasted it on the fire. I hope you'll like it. It was the best I could do." "That's all right. It smells very nice anyway, and I am very hungry." They remained at the table in silence for some time, and then Easton asked, "How much rent do we owe now?" "4 weeks, and I promised the collector the last time he called that we'd pay 2 weeks next Monday. He was quite nasty about it."
"I suppose you'll have to pay it, that's all.
said Easton. "How much money will you have tomorrow?" asked Ruth. He began to reckon up his time. He started on Monday, and today was Friday. 5 days, from 7 to 5, less half an hour for breakfast and an hour for dinner, 8.5 hours a day, 42.5 hours in all. At 7 pence an hour, that came to £1.49. If we pay the 2 weeks' rent, that'll leave us 12 shillings to live on. "But we won't be able to keep all that," said Ruth, "because there are other things to pay."
"What other things?"
"We owe the baker 8 shillings for the bread he let us have while you were not working. And there's another 12 shillings we owe for groceries. We'll have to pay them something on account. Then we want some more coal. There's only about a shovelful left and..."
"Wait a minute," said Easton.
"The best way is to write out a list of everything we owe. Then we shall know exactly where we are. You get me a piece of paper and tell me what to write. Then we'll see what it comes to." While they were talking, the baby was sleeping restlessly, uttering little cries from time to time. The mother went to kneel at the side of the cradle, gently rocking it with one hand and patting the child with the other. "Except the furniture people, the biggest thing we owe is the rent," she said, as Easton cleared a space on the table and was ready to begin.
"It seems to me," said he, "that you don't manage things as well as you might. When you go shopping on Saturday, you just take the money in your hand without knowing exactly what you're going to do with it, and when you come back it's all gone, and there's next to nothing to show for it."
His wife made no reply, her head bending down over the child.
"Now let's see," her husband went on. "First of all, there's the rent. How much did you say we owe?"
4 weeks. That's the 3 weeks you were out, and this week."
4 sixes is 24. That's £1.04, said Easton as he wrote down. "Next."
"Grocer, 12 shillings.
Easton looked up in astonishment. 12 shillings? "Why, didn't you tell me only the other day that you'd paid up all we owed for groceries?"
"Don't you remember? We owed 35 shillings last spring. Well, I've been paying that bit by bit all the summer. I paid the last of it the week you finished your last job. Then you were out 3 weeks, and as we had nothing in hand, I had to get what we wanted without paying for it."
"Well," he said, "what else?"
"We owe the baker 8 shillings. We did owe nearly £1, but I've been paying it off a little at a time."
This was added to the list.
"Then there's a milkman. I've not paid him for 4 weeks. He hasn't sent a bill yet, but you can work it out. We have 2 pennyworth every day."
"That's 4 and 8, said Easton, writing it down. "Anything else?"
"We owe the butcher 2 and 7 pence.
"Why, we haven't had any meat for a long time," said Easton. "When was it?"
3 weeks ago. Don't you remember? A small leg of mutton."
"Oh, yes."
And he added the item. "Then there's the instalments for the furniture and oilcloth, 12 shillings. A letter came from them today. And there's something else."